It's Rory. Hello, gorgeous man.
Pete Price, hello, gorgeous man yourself. How are you?
Well, I really am, Rory. Very stunned. Very, very stunned. This hit me.
Pete, I was just thinking, Pete, that the very first time we went to Liverpool, it must be nearly 20 years ago, wow, or close to it, maybe wow, 15 years ago, wow, and you had us on your show. You really helped us so much back in those days. And it was great in those days. We could pop in and out. You know what I mean? You were always there. Like if we said, Pete, we need to tell, oh, come in, you'd be grand. And we'd have a great night in there. And loads of us would go in.
I couldn't wait for you to come in because it was chaos. The whole lot of you came in.
Oh, we did, because it was great. It was a big deal. Like, we were playing around Ireland for years and we couldn't get a gig in the UK. And we got one gig in Glasgow, and then I was able to get the people from the Royal Court in Liverpool to come up and see us. Yeah. If they'd seen us in Dublin, they might have thought, oh, this is just a local show. It wouldn't work in Liverpool. But because they saw it in the UK, they said, yeah, come to Liverpool, we want you for 3 weeks. And Liverpool saved our bacon over the years. It was unbelievable. Like, there were times we played twice a year for 3 weeks each time. It was, when you look back, it's ridiculous. But we did. And the people of Liverpool were fabulous to us. I loved it.
Well, I'll tell you something else, Rory, that you don't know about, that you actually set in stone as well at the Royal Court, a type of programme that went in all the time. So a type of show. And on the back of Mrs. Brown is now their Christmas shows and the type of performances they put them on, because you opened a new market.
Well, I'm delighted for the Royal Court, because they, at the time when we were starting off in the UK, we could only get privately owned theatres, or we couldn't get like the big theatre chain. Yeah. They weren't interested in us at all. So the Royal Court in Liverpool, and to see them doing well out of it, that's brilliant. That's great news.
Yeah, no,
but as they say, all good things come to an end, and that's what happened to me.
Well, I mean, how long have you been talking about it or thinking about it?
I've been thinking about it for, I haven't been happy there for about 2 years. What happened was, we were in Australia, and this has nothing to do with it really, but weird things started happening. We were in Australia in January last year, and I got word that my mother had days to live, and I couldn't come home. My mother has dementia, and she's really, really bad. Now, when I was there, before I left, she could walk and she could move about and stuff like that, and you could get bits of conversation out of her. When I came back from Australia, she was still alive, but she was bedridden, and she was in a bad way. But I was told she had days to live in Australia, and I couldn't come home, because the show has to go on, and there was nobody else there. And they told me, not Brendan, but the insurance people told me that if my mother had died, I could come home. But I couldn't come home just because she's sick, because other people could use that as an excuse to say, I can't do the tour, my mother is sick, and they could walk out of the show. So my mother did, well, thank God she didn't die. But I was stuck over there in Australia, and I was thinking, this is our second time in Australia. My mother's not well, I really want to be home and stuff like that. So I haven't been happy, that was the start of it. I really haven't been happy with Mrs. Brown's Boys company for about 2 years. And then I was looking at it this year, it was a case of, we went out on the road and I thought, if I stay, we're going to Australia next year, and that would be our third visit in 4 years. That's too much. I really don't want to do that for 3 months. Australia is lovely, but not so often. There's other markets I was thinking, like Canada and cities in America, that we could do that we're not doing. And if you look at the tour that we're doing this time and the tour we did the year before last, it's the exact same theatres in the exact same order. And we'd like it will end up with Liverpool, Sheffield, Belfast and Dublin. And mm-hmm. that's the way it was 2 years ago. And I just thought, okay, I don't like things being that predictable anymore, and I know what I would, if I stayed, I know what I would be doing up until 2022. And I just thought, no, I can't do this anymore. I've got to try something else, because it was getting a bit like the civil service or like a bus company. Like, if you miss us, don't worry, we're coming back again.
Well, do you know what? The big thing for me, though, the big shock was this, and It is an amazing family and company of powerful people, all with their own jobs to do, all stars in their own right. Surely, I understand what you're saying, but surely you're going to miss that.
I don't think, I've been working with Brendan for 26 years, and I didn't have a row with Brendan. I've had no falling out with Brendan. Brendan has been brilliant to me. I would hate anyone to think it was to do something with Brendan, because it's not. And what he did was he paid me so well that it enabled me to be able to leave when I thought enough was enough. So that's okay. But we all had the jobs to do and stuff like that. But then as we got bigger and bigger, we had less and less to do. Like, I used to be booking the gigs, I used to be doing all the PR, but that's all gone now. And there's people there that are doing things like that. And I always got the impression, like, I have a HDiP in marketing and PR, I have a certificate in journalism, I have a certificate in philosophy, for God's sake. And I just thought, I'm too qualified to be doing nothing except going on a stage, which I loved, but I found the road very lonely. It was starting to get too much for me. I just thought, no. And then the whole thing with my mother, when that kicked off, that really set it into me. I'm not enjoying this as I should be doing. I loved playing the theatres, and the arenas don't have the same thing.
Well,
for
that
me,
I you know will agree. That I will agree with you, and that's not just Mrs. Brown. That's anybody. I don't want to see Bassey in an arena. I want to see her at the Empire. I want to see Mrs. Brown at the Royal Court. So I am totally with you on that one.
Yeah. No, I loved. And Liverpool was my favourite city to gig, because I was a Beatles fan, and there was the one that made us the most welcome. I loved Liverpool. And when I got there the first time, I was doing the Magical Mystery Tour. I was going to the Beatles shop. I was in and out of HMV all the time. I was seeing where the Beatles lived. I was doing all this mad stuff, right? But I loved it. I absolutely adored it. But then when you go back the next time and it's the same, you're staying in the same place and then you're gigging in the same place, like the arenas, you can't keep doing the Beatles tour. And the same in Glasgow, you can't keep going to the same, going out. You go out and explore the city when you get there, but you can't keep doing that all the time. So eventually what I was doing was I was staying in the apartment all day and just by myself. Yeah. And then I'd go and do the show, and I loved the show, and then come back to the apartment. And it was like, at the end, I just thought, there has to be more to life than this. So that's what it was, really. I just got bored with it. I know it's an awful thing to say because it's a great show, but
it's different. You know yourself, it's different when you're on that side of it. Now, tell me, how did Brendan take it when you first told him?
It was the most bizarre thing, because I've known Brendan for 26 years, so he knew I wasn't happy anyway. I assume he did, because I just said to him, we were in Cardiff, and I decided, okay, I really have to go. I should have left after Australia last year. I really should have done. But I didn't realise, because, again, the thing with my mother, I thought that was what was putting me in bad humour. That was why I wasn't happy enough there. But it wasn't that, really. So when I said to Brendan in Cardiff, I said, Brendan, I want to leave. I said, how much notice do you want? And he, like, it was an off-the-cuff thing. He just said, the end of the week, if you want. And I said, oh, that's grand. And that was it. But then he sent me a text later on that night, and he said, no, listen, Rory, that's going to be impossible. You can't just leave in 3 days' time. He said, how about if you stayed till the end of the O2 in London? And I said, yeah, that's no problem. I'll do that. And I didn't tell anybody, and I wasn't going to tell anybody I had left. I was just going to go. And then as soon as I was doing something else, then I would say, I'm no longer in Mrs. Brown's Boys. But that could have been, my plan was to take the rest of the year off. But Danny tweeted something, and then Gary Hollywood, who plays Dino, he tweeted something, and I thought, well, okay, well, I better say. So I said it on, I got the girl who runs my fan page in the UK to put it out there that I had left. And then I have never seen anything like the reaction. Apparently it was on the news over here at 1 o'clock yesterday and stuff like that. I've only left a comedy show. It's not like something really, really serious.
It is serious. The
reaction has been wild.
Ronnie, it's serious to a lot of people, because you bring a lot of joy. What you brought back, all of you as a company, you brought back theatre that was funny. You brought back television that was funny. There's nothing
That's
but garbage on these days.
Brilliant.
garbage, I know, but on that was these all days.
Down, but that's down to Brendan O'Carroll. He's fabulous. Yeah. The thing that really...
Yeah, but you're part of it. You're part of it,
I know,
mate.
But what I was thinking of... Geez, I'm 58 on Saturday, and I'm playing Rory Brown. And I've been playing Rory. We did it on Radio First 25 years ago. And I'm still playing the same character based, like, at the same age. And I just thought, I'm 58 and I'm playing this Dizzy Queen type of character, who's a lovable character, but it'd be a lovable character by somebody in their 20s or maybe their early 30s or something like that. But it's just, I feel that even the play we're doing now, Good Morning, Miss, the play I was doing, Good Morning, Mrs. Brown, that's 17 years old. So I was playing the character like 17 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever it was, and I'm still playing the same character. And times have changed. When Brendan wrote the Rory and Dino first, it was brilliant because in Ireland it was illegal to have gay sex. It was illegal for gay men to have sex with each other or whatever. And that wasn't decriminalised until 1993. And Brendan wrote these two characters, Rory and Dino, in 1992, and he made them believable, he made them likeable. And that had never happened in Ireland before, where gay people were portrayed on any media as being likeable. And Brendan did that, and it was fabulous. But things have moved on an awful lot now. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just thinking, I'm 57, I'm 58 on Saturday. I can't keep playing this character that's like living at home with his mother and the mother. Like, that time is gone. Things have moved on. And I just felt it was time. Like, I felt it was time as well. Maybe if they got, like, I presume Brendan is going to replace me in the show, maybe get somebody younger or something like that. But it's just for somebody my age to be playing that character as well. I thought, no, this is, I'm getting too old for this now. I need to do something else.
Well, you know the relationship I've got with him. As soon as I read it, I sent him a text, which I've got in front of me. I can't read it all out because it's rude. And he sent back, "How are you with accents?" So I applied for your job, and he said, "How are you?"
You would be brilliant. You would be brilliant. You would be absolutely fabulous. You would be brilliant. You would be brilliant.
Well, you know, you put me off because you don't want to play at your age. I'm 71. I'd look even worse as his son.
My God, well, you look better than me. I'm 58 on Saturday, and I look older than you. No, but I just thought there was a lot of things, and maybe I'm looking too much into it. But the fact is, I just thought, okay, and you know, sometimes if you're in something and you just know yourself, this is not for me anymore, and there's nothing you can do. As soon as I gave in the notice, the next 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it was, till I left, I loved every night on stage. I absolutely adored it. I was having the time of my life. I was really, and I know, if I do say so myself, I was playing a blinder. I was, because I knew it was coming to an end. And the idea of going back to Australia next year for the third time in 4 years, I just thought, no, this, we need, like, that's just me with my marketing head on thinking, we need to be going to other places. We can't just be keep doing this. And the idea of doing all the theatres in the UK in the same order and practically the same weeks every other year, I thought, oh, no, we need to.
I can relate to you, Rory. I've given up panto now after 32 years. Because I've had enough, and the stress is terrible for me in panto. You certainly sound as if you know exactly what you want. It's a side of you that the public don't see it. I've seen it before. Do you not think you'll wake up one day and go, "What have I done?"
I probably will when I see the Christmas specials. I'll probably go, "Oh God, I missed this dreadfully." Yeah. I'd probably say it then, but I don't know. I sometimes think things always work out the way they're supposed to. And if you're not, I would hate to be the type of person, I've never worked in a job just to have a job, just so as I could have money. Every job I've had, I've adored, I've loved it. Yeah. I started working in a record shop. My favourite job of all times was working in a record shop. EMI had a record shop back in Dublin in 1977 when I left school. And I was getting paid £21.50 a week for doing what I would have done for nothing, played music all day long. Mm-hmm. That was my dream job. And within 7 years, I was the marketing manager of EMI in Ireland. And I was working with people like Paul McCartney and Tina Turner and David Bowie and Diana Ross at the age of 24. Mm-hmm. And that came from working in a record shop. I loved it. And if you love a job, you'll always move, and you do your best, you'll always move on. But this one, when it, with Mrs. Brown, I loved it for like 24 years out of the 26. I absolutely adored it. But then I just thought, oh, okay, now this is not moving at all. This is doing, we're just repeating ourselves now.
I know you know how the fans feel about me, but do you know how much you're loved as a character, as a person and as
I absolutely didn't realise. Like, I knew I'd get a big cheer. Like, you can hear the cheers when I went on stage and stuff like that. I know the cheers I get when I get the bells. But I was going through, like, the social media went wild, and I'm still trying to reply to everything. I just like everything, but there's so much of it. But there was one, and I was getting a bit teary. There was one, and it just said, oh, my God, I can't believe, Rory, you're leaving Mrs. Brown's Boys. It's like losing somebody in a family member. And I was thinking, ah, come on, Mrs. Simonian, it's only a comedy show. And she says, I'm 78 years old. And she said, I just feel like you're a member of my family, and I'm going to miss you so much. Yeah. And, of course, I'm well enough then at this stage. Initially, I'm saying to myself, ah, come on, it's only a comedy show. But then I'm thinking, I didn't realise how much this character meant to some people. I mean, I know it's a very popular character, but I didn't realise until I left how much I'm going to be missed. And, like, it's lovely to know that, but it's also quite sad as well to think, God, I didn't, when I was there, I didn't realise that, I didn't cop on how popular.
But
that
Rory, you also
was.
Get
even
some.
Even though it's all down to Brendan, he writes it.
Yeah, but Rory, you get some of the biggest laughs, the belly laughs in it. You know, get some, and the corpse in is sensational.
That's all down to Brendan. Brendan does that because he knows I'm not a trained actor.
Yeah.
All the rest, like, there's other people, and trained actors are trained how to stifle a laugh and stuff like that, and to hold it together. But Brendan knows I don't do that, and he knows that the audience love it.
Yes, absolutely.
When he does something. He did it on the live show when he called me back. I'm nearly out the door, and I'm thinking, there's 10 million people watching this. Oh, my God. And I don't know where he's going with this. When we did the live broadcast BBC last summer. But he does it, and it's hilarious. And I did have the best seat in the house. When Mrs. Brown used to go off on one, I was sitting right beside her.
Yeah.
I could see the expression in Mrs. Brown's face. I knew what he was doing. He would say things under his breath, and I would start, and he wouldn't stop until I was uncontrollable with laughter. And the audience used to love that. They were screaming because it was a different, they knew there was something different happening on that night. And it was fabulous, and you'd never know. And Brendan was wonderful because he said, we toured this show, this play we're doing now, it's 17 years old, we've toured it loads of times. We did it in Australia last year, we're doing it in the UK this year. So Brendan says, like, after the third or fourth night, Pete, you could busk it if you wanted to. You'd know if you stuck to the script, you would know that you come in at a certain time, you deliver your line, and you mightn't be giving it 100%, but Brendan's attitude always was, it's not your first night, it's the audience's first night. Yeah. So he would change things, and I would be standing, we're all standing side stage, like, on edge, wondering what's going to happen. So even 2 years into a tour, we couldn't busk it.
Yeah.
And I loved it for so many years. I absolutely adored it. And it's a wonderful life. But it's just in the last 18 months, 2 years, I thought, oh, no, I really don't want to do this anymore.
Rory, to finish
because
off.
Because it was getting predictable.
Yeah, to finish off, Rory, you've got to say, this is the greatest compliment I can pay you. I was distraught and really, really unhappy when Hilda Ogden left Corrie, because she came into my home.
Oh, so was I.
She came into my home, and she was part of me, and then she left, and I was just really upset about it. I will say the same to you. Very, very sad to see Mrs. Brown without you. To finish off, your message to all the listeners now who've been to the Royal Court and seen you at the Empire, and the Echo Arena, what's your message?
I'm so sorry that I'm not going to be there this year for every. Like, I mean, I know not the people are buying tickets for Mrs. Brown, but there are people who did like Rory Brown and who loved Rory Brown, and I left the tour. I left the tour after they had bought tickets. So I'm coming to the Echo Arena now, and people are not going to. They know now after they bought the tickets that I'm not going to be in the show. So I really want to apologise to all them. I'm really, really sorry, but it's still going to be a great show. And I really want to thank the people of Liverpool for welcoming us from the very start when we really needed the support, and the people in Liverpool came out. They really did. They came out in droves. We'd sell out, and it kept us going 6 weeks. I remember one time we played. Brendan used to never do the summer because his kids were in school and they would be off for the summer. So we finished up 3 weeks in Liverpool, and after the summer we went back for another 3 weeks. we'd only been gone a few weeks and we were back again, and we sold it. The people in Liverpool kept us going for a long time. Yeah. And I'd never forget them. It was always my favourite city to gig, and I've said that in many interviews. And I've said that so many times. Liverpool was always my favourite because they loved us from the very start.
Yeah.
We started off in the Neptune, which then became the Brian Epstein when Brendan did the course. Then we did the Royal Court. Then we did the Empire. And then we did the Echo Arena. Yeah. So from all levels, from the very start right up to the very top, we went through everywhere in Liverpool. We did them all. And I love Liverpool. It's my favourite. It was my favourite city to gig.
Rory, what would you say to Brendan and the family who you have been part of for so many years?
Oh, I wish them all the best. I really do. I really wish them all the best. There's no bad feeling between me and Brendan or anything like that, or me and the cast. I wasn't leaving because of anything the cast had done or anything like that. The cast, I had a great time with them. But things have to change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't keep repeating the same things again and again and again. And I just felt that there was opportunities that we were missing to keep us exciting. And I started to get bored, and that's what happened. I'm sorry to say,
Rory.
I mean, I know it sounds awful leaving a big show like that because I just didn't want to do anymore.
I understand it. Tell me, will you come over one day and co-present the show with me?
I would love to, because do you know what they've asked me? The journalists over here, they were all asking me. They asked me in the Mirror in the UK, this is, what would you like to do? And the only ambition that I've ever had that I haven't done is to have like a weekend radio show, music-based, not talk-based, music-based. And I would love just a Sunday afternoon show or a Saturday afternoon show or something. That's what I love, because I love radio, but I would love to come over and just co-host, which I would love that. That would be fabulous.